Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Does it feel in your own mind that D'Amico Ryan's not being here next year is a fait accompli?
No, and here's why. There are not that many open jobs this year, and three of them happened during the season. And owners, for the most part, do the hiring of coaches. Other people will interview them, but owners say, that's the guy I want. And they almost invariably go for the offensive guy. The Jets went for Robert Saleh, and that hasn't turned out terribly well so far. The Jets have not.
They are much improved on his side of the ball.
They are much improved on his side of the ball, but they're still not in the playoffs. And owners want to know, why aren't we scoring more? Why don't we have Kansas City's results? So I think,
go hire Eric Bieniemy then. By the way, he must be the worst interview on the planet because nobody has given this guy his name is not even in the news cycle this year, when his name was at the top of the who might be a future head coach news cycle.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what that's about. I mean, I've heard 12 different versions of why he's not getting interviewed, but...
Well, give me one.
One is that they believe that Andy Reid is the guy who calls the plays, not Eric Bieniemy.
Well, it probably is. Well, it's not rare for the head coach to call the plays.
But you're looking for, well, in some places it is, but the perception, I think, out of Kansas City is that Andy Reid has his hands all over the offense, so nobody knows how good Eric Bieniemy is. I mean, his reputation has largely been built on the fact that he's in Kansas City. I've heard them doesn't interview well. I'm not sure that that's it. I've heard that, he tends to be blunter than owners like.
See, that's one of the guys I'd be looking for.
See, I would too, but owners like yes men. You know, they don't want to have to listen to the word no from a guy they're paying $10 million a year to turn their football team around. They want what they want when they want it. I don't know really if there's anything wrong with D'Amico Ryan's other than the fact that owners like offense, they don't tend to like defense. And very few defensive coordinators who have been hired lately have been dramatic improvements on the offensive guy that they've replaced.
I want to give full credit to 49ers Web Zone, which basically put together a little article about how D'Amico Ryan's could end up back with the 49ers next year. And what we do know, here's what we know. He's going to interview with Denver and Houston. They have both officially, formally requested an interview with D'Amico Ryan's. So let's just start with the Denver Broncos, who, to be totally honest, have D'Amico Ryan's has zero chance of being hired by the Denver Broncos. Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, and Dan Quinn are the first three guys standing in that line. And that might be the right of first refusal right there. Harbaugh, Payton, Quinn. Kind of interesting, and it feels like this is maybe a little bit more performative to appease Rooney rules. Do you see that David Shaw, former Stanford head coach, interviewed for the Denver job?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think John Elway still has a hand in things over there. I don't know if it's as firm as it used to be.
He obviously doesn't have an eyeball on the football that's been played at Stanford the last few years.
No, but sometimes you just interview a guy to get their views on your team. I mean, I don't believe anybody thinks that David Shaw is going to get that job.
No, but he certainly fits a pigmentation profile that Denver wants to tick off. Especially if their three head candidates are Harbaugh, Sean Payton, and Dan Quinn.
Well, ultimately, you know, Rob Walton being the richest owner in the NFL, price will not be an object for what he wants.
No, I heard that if it's Harbaugh, Harbaugh could be looking at north of $20 million a year.
Well, $20 million is not the problem. The problem is power. Because how did he come a cropper in San Francisco? Got into fights with the two people above him on the organizational chart, Jed York and Trent Baalke.
By the way, we're back.
Yeah, I heard people giving him credit for, you know, turning that team around when, in fact, all he did was say the word Trevor Lawrence. And he had a hand in bringing Urban Meyer there, so he dodged a massive bullet.
Well, that really wasn't me. That was the guy above me.
No, of course that was.
That wasn't me. Let me tell you what I did. Everyone laughed at me when I went ahead and traded and paid Kirk like that.
Kirk was really good this year. He was on my fantasy team.
He was good even when Lawrence was not.
Yeah.
So he was a surprise in a lot of ways.
Look.
But getting back to your point, Denver and Carolina have the two richest owners in the sport. And given what happened in Carolina with Matt Rhule, I cannot see David Tepper keeping Steve Wilks. I think he's looking for a big splash, too. So that whoever Denver doesn't get, or whoever is left after Denver hires whoever they're going to hire, is going to be Project One in Carolina.
I think Arizona is going to be looking to come and pick up whatever is the leftover coaching hired in Denver as well. You brought up the Panthers real quick. Their list of interviews right now, and they've already got like four or five guys that they want to interview. It doesn't even include D'Amico Ryan or any coach that comes from the defensive side of the ball. Everyone that they're talking to is an offensive coordinator. They're thinking offense for sure. So you can absolutely eliminate Carolina from even being in a D'Amico Ryan's conversation.
Oh, no, I don't think I didn't think that was ever going to get to D'Amico Ryan's, because, as I said, David Tepper is going to throw money at this, and he's going to throw a lot of it, which means that he either gets Payton or he gets Harbaugh. And if Harbaugh, for some reason, stays at Michigan, at that point it becomes a wild card. But D'Amico Ryan's, I think, is down on everybody's list, largely because of what you just said. Carolina wants offensive guys. Denver desperately wants somebody to fix Russell Wilson. That's an offensive guy. Arizona has Kyler Murray, who apparently is going to be in the room when this decision is made. So that almost sounds like an untenable job going forward. After that, you know, Indianapolis, I don't know if Jeff Saturday is going to get gassed or not. But that's a hot mess that I think D'Amico Ryans would be better off avoiding, even if they offered him the job.
Jim Irsay really might run Jeff Saturday back out of spite, basically, or just to prove himself right. Because that hire was universally, you know, mocked from corner to corner. It was a laughingstock hire. And Irsay is just the kind of eccentric level nuts enough to think, yeah, I can still end up proving to everyone I'm the smartest man in the room if this works out. So I'll give it another year because I'm just crazy enough to do it.
Yeah, well, and stubborn enough, because he's starting to take on some of the trappings of his old man who owned the Baltimore Colts and then moved them in the middle of the night.
Strong drinker.
Huge drinker. Like, massive. And the Jeff Saturday thing, if you read the thing in The Athletic about how he made up his mind on Frank Reich, he's now essentially the guy who runs the building. You know, it's not Chris Ballard anymore. It's Jim Irsay. And Jim Irsay wanted Jeff Saturday. He insisted it was the best hire and flat out told everybody in the room who thought it was a bad idea, he goes, "You guys don't understand what I understand." And guys who do that tend not to come off a position until it becomes painfully obvious that they have to. And you would have thought losing to the Cowboys 54-19 might have done that, but no.
I mean, the idea to just shake up the world sounded crazy to begin with. I'll be the only person in America defending Jeff Saturday. He was offered up to the media as if he were a gas station attendant. He was a Pro Bowl center whose ears were closer to Peyton Manning than anybody ever had a set of ears closer to Peyton Manning forever. Was he looking back at it the wrong hire? Absolutely. Is he unprepared for the job? Absolutely. But to just pull his name out of the hat and say, let's give it a go, all right, I don't like it, but at least you can make an argument that lifetime Colts know how Colts should, you know, be, if that's what you will. He's, you know, a culture hire, if that's what you want to call it. But then this season, just so chewed him up and spit him out to come back to it. Now you sound like a buffoon.
Yeah, well, the other thing was that unlike Mike Singletary, who was a culture hire in San Francisco, he'd had some experience as an assistant coach on staffs. They didn't hire him from a high school, which is where Jeff Saturday's coaching acumen came from. That's what made, there was nothing about his background other than being a center that made him qualified for this. And because of that, people derided the choice. If he had done 3 years on somebody's staff, nobody would have blinked twice. They would have said, well, that's a weird hire, but I get it. This was mostly Jim Irsay trying to, I mean, angry at Frank Reich, angry at Chris Ballard, going, I'll do this now. I don't trust you guys anymore. And he chose a guy who, while he might like him a great deal, it's essentially like hiring his next door neighbor. And it turned out exactly as you would expect. Their last win was against the Raiders, which tells you plenty about the Raiders. And then after that, you know, close against Philadelphia, lost by a touchdown to Pittsburgh, lost by 35 to Dallas, was close against Minnesota, then got routed
Dallas
by the Chargers.
That Dallas game was close through three quarters, right?
Then, yeah, and then it blew up, yeah. And then got routed by the Giants, and then, you know, blew the game against Houston at the end of the year because they couldn't keep them from scoring with a minute to go.
This conversation started being about D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah.
We've kind of gotten lost on Saturday.
No, but
it's fascinating.
It's fascinating because we're talking about whether Jeff Saturday would have the job next year. And I think that's a coin flip. And if it's not Jeff Saturday, I don't know that Jim Irsay would hire a defensive guy either, because he doesn't seem to be the kind of guy who looks at that team and says, yeah, we have no quarterback, and then hire a defensive guy, because that was his biggest complaint. He hated Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan was fairly hateable at that point because he's done. So I think Jim Irsay would be looking, if he's looking outside, for somebody to create a new quarterback for him. And quite frankly, that's an offensive guy's job.
So again, how could D'Amico Ryans end up as the 49ers defensive coordinator again next year? It's a game of musical chairs, and we're eliminating chairs here before he really even gets to play the game. He's not going to the Denver Broncos. I think we agree on that. He's not going to the Carolina Panthers. They're looking to hire offense for sure. I agree with you on the Colts. If it's not Jeff Saturday, it's going to come from someone on the offensive side of the ball. And if it, you know, if Jim Irsay is going to replace Saturday, he's going to do something with a big ticket, impressive hire.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the Arizona Cardinals, who apparently are thinking about maybe even promoting their own defensive coordinator, Vance Joseph, but that doesn't mean that they're going to quickly pivot to D'Amico Ryans. So that leaves one other team, and it's the team that D'Amico spent most of his career with. It's the Houston Texans. But apparently, the Houston Texans are a lot more interested in D'Amico Ryans than he is in rejoining the Houston Texans. I mean, when you think about it, they just won and dunned back-to-back minority coaches in a row. And he knows the franchise's skeletons. He knows what a dumpster fire their ownership has been throughout his entire career, throughout their entire ownership of the franchise, basically. And a polite no thank you feels very, very likely from DeMeco if the Texans really did come a-calling, which they have. There are two interviews actually set on DeMeco's upcoming schedule. It's the Denver Broncos. Don't think he's going to get it. The Houston Texans don't really think he wants it. Now, maybe they put a paycheck in front of him that makes him say, let's let bygones be bygones. I don't think it's going to be the Colts. It's not going to be the Cardinals. Definitely not going to be the Panthers, which means he might be by default back in San Francisco next year.
Back in San Francisco as defensive coordinator and assistant head coach, which means he'll get a bump. And he's got one coming. The other part about Houston that makes it a bad job is that nobody's betting that Nick Caserio, the general manager, is going to last very much longer either. In fact, some people are surprised that he's still there at all. The only way...
Well, he won the war against Easterby, right?
He won the war against Easterby, but, you know, he was the guy who brought in Lovie Smith, and Lovie Smith did the best he could with a terrible team and still got shown the gate that night, the night that they beat Indianapolis. So I don't know how much power he actually does have or how much longer he's going to be able to wield it. So I think we got to wait and see if Caserio is going to stay before we make any assumptions. And as long as Cal McNair is running the team, I think DeMeco Ryans is wise to be wary.
I think there is one team in the postseason that could actually, without the right result this postseason, looking to be firing their head coach. And I don't know if this would apply to DeMeco Ryans, but if you told me that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat the Dallas Cowboys, I could absolutely see Mike McCarthy, whether he deserved it or not, being the fall guy for that situation. Jerry Jones has already basically said that's not going to happen, which means it totally could happen. I wouldn't put anything past Jerry to make a rash decision based off of early, yet again, exit from the postseason for the Dallas Cowboys. If the Dallas Cowboys do become available, I could see how that would upset the way the dominoes fall if we agree that the first dominoes to fall would be Harbaugh, Peyton Manning, Dan Quinn in Denver. If Dallas were looking to hire a coach, I could see how one of those guys, and if Jim Harbaugh decides to go back to Ann Arbor or stay in Ann Arbor, he hasn't left yet. Now all of a sudden, DeMeco has a couple more chairs available in the game of musical chairs. But I ended this year thinking for sure he's about to be a head coach somewhere else. I don't know anymore.
No, I think circumstances are going to beat him more than anything else.
Yeah.
I also think that, you know, him being black is, that's always a high bar to clear with a white ownership. But I would suggest that the Cowboys are less likely to replace their coach than the Chargers. If the Chargers lose...
Did they used to play in San Diego? Because if they did, I can forgive that mistake.
For 100 years.
I forgive you.
Thank you. But I could easily see them looking at Brandon Staley and going, you have Justin Herbert. How do you not get past Jacksonville? Because the bloom is off his rose, big time. I could see that becoming another vacancy. The wild card for me, of all the wild cards here, it's the fact that Dan Quinn is the defensive coach du jour that people think is going to get a head coaching job because he's had one before. That also stands in the way of DeMeco Ryans getting one. So I think the odds are that DeMeco Ryans is going to end up back in San Francisco, having done a couple of interviews and finding out what he needs to find out about interviewing, and Kirk and Kyle Shanahan throwing him some more money and maybe a better title.
Well, that settles it then. I'm glad we were able to figure that one out.
I'm exhausted.
We deconstructed it before anyone even bothered to construct it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.